Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss and grin the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
All right, welcome back to the latest edition of the Mountain West Connection Radio Show. Jeremy here, Chris hanging out over there. How's your face? Is your face long, I should say? A long face? That should be the better term. How are you feeling?
Well, let's see. You know what? I'm not even sad anymore.
No, I'm the pain?
No. Alcohol kind of cured that. But it's one of those things that it's just... Either I'm growing up and realize that losses happen, even for a team that averages 10, 11 wins a year. It stung, but, you know, big losses and humiliating losses need to happen.
To tame that fan base that thinks
everybody's yeah, really, yeah, moves. No, really. To just tame the fan base to,
Should
you
I,
know,
so wait,
make
talk
us...
to our friend Mike Singer of who covers South Florida for the Rivals.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, how'd you like the game? Sorry. Just... Matt, I'm screwing with you. You know what I mean?
My slew of 206 fans from the Seattle area, have been texting me all day, and, you know, that kind of makes me sad. But
overall, it was a poor showing.
No, yeah. No, and you can't really say anything about that.
0-5 against the Pac-12. 4-8 overall, and two of the wins were against FCS schools. And yeah, UTSA is... barely a Division I FBS school program now.
4-8. What are you talking about? 4-8. We were 3-9.
Oh, was I incorrect on that? Was it 3-9?
Yeah, we were 3-9 this week.
Rutgers, Sac State, and Air Force. Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's my mistake. Oh, I was probably hoping for four wins earlier today. But...
We were, and then our hopes were crushed.
Hey, we do have a positive note. Not that it matters to anybody else. Despite the crappy weekend, two record days ever on the website. So thank you for stopping by.
Yeah.
Thank you for writing stuff. Everybody who does stuff for us. Retweeters, message boarders, haters. I'm just saying, bring it on. It's we had, even today, CSU Colorado record day. Beat our prior record day on Thursday by 25%.
The theme song makes so much more sense now.
Yes. Inside, you better listen to the beginning, which you probably have. But let's just get into games. We'll discuss our friend from the San Diego Union Tribune later on.
Let's not discuss that and say we did, because I'm pretty sure many people have seen that post by now. And
no, I'm going
very
to,
strongly the similar, you know.
No, what I'm going to say, I'm just going to add the little math I did afterwards. That's all. Really all right. Quick later on. Nothing huge. But also, should we mention the Craig James news?
Craig James has been fired.
Fire Craig James. Internet wins. Fire Craig James was successful after one airing.
So what was that? 5 hours of airtime?
I didn't even know.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, 5 hours. Yes, five. Anything with five is allegedly with Craig James. I didn't even know who's hired. I read it over an awful announcing, I think, on Saturday or something. I'm like,
well, it was an awful move, so it deserved to be on there. So.
Yes, and apparently, it was from SI.com. Richard Dreich, whatever. He does media news stuff over there at SI. But apparently, it didn't go high enough up to the correct people at Fox. So, sorry, low-level executive, you're probably fired as well.
Yeah, no sympathy. First of all, no sympathy for hiring Craig James, but secondly, because, you know.
Come on.
Seriously? Yeah.
Let's get to the games. We'll start chronological and we order, which goes back. Ooh, it's a long week. Thursday. I watched football from 4 p.m. until 1 a.m. on Thursday, and it was awesome.
I don't see a problem with that.
I fell asleep when Rutgers went to overtime. But
yeah, and you missed the best part.
Apparently so.
The last hour or the last 2 hours of that game I actually watched, and it was fantastic.
No, I watched
let's start at the very beginning.
Yeah, I watched the second half. I'm like, if this is good, I'm going to bed. I didn't care. Yeah, start all the way at the beginning. Opening day, first game.
UNLV Minnesota.
Same old Rebels.
But are they? Here's the thing. Are they? I mean, same old Rebels meaning that the scoreboard says Minnesota 51, UNLV 23. But the box score tells a completely different story.
What?
Four big plays. Four plays that Minnesota had that UNLV just completely flubbed. And most of it was on special teams.
Yeah, they ended up being 51-23. Four plays, 28 points. Here's the quick plays really quick. One was just a read option play where Minnesota quarterback Philip Nelson, excuse me, ran 48 yards for touchdown. Okay, whatever. That's excusable. That happens. Shouldn't happen, but it does. Then there's the blocked field goal. Was that the next one, I believe? No, it all came in the second half. UNLV gives up the touchdown, end of the half. They're down 16-13. Okay, that really sucked when there's 18 seconds left in the half. Then they get Marcus Jones, 98-yard touchdown.
To start the half.
Okay.
Then UNLV's driving, and then blocked field goal returned for a touchdown.
Don't forget the ball is kicked at 1.2.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And that made it as the game over, 30-13. And then the next one was an 89-yard pick six. A pretty good name, Brian Bodie Calhoun. But still,
right.
I get your point. The first drive,
once again, they're driving.
Good.
It's 30-16 at that point. They were on the 11-yard line, driving, threatening to score. If they scored, then we'd be telling a different story right now.
Well, because look at this. You got Nick Sherry, reasonable, 35-50, 226, two TDs, two picks. Tim Cornett did okay, 80 yards on four yards of carry. Devonta Davis did his thing, 7-77 on the score. Jerry Rice Jr. actually stepped up, but not many people think he would do all that great. Six receptions. Then this guy, Maika Matale, played pretty well. And they are missing Marcus Sullivan as well for personal reasons.
I'm sorry, you have not mentioned the best news out of this. I mean, Nick Sherry did well.
Murray Lawrence.
Tim Cornett did okay. Shaquille Murray Lawrence, yeah.
Only had four carries. That's all reason.
For 108 yards.
Yes, he did. Okay, I got you. Is that the guy from Northwestern, I believe?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, the longest there was a 64-yard. Okay, you take that away, so you still
50?
Have
three for 50. 40-something. Yeah, they did move the ball, because also look at the time of possession. They're pretty even. Okay, it's not hard to outgain a team when there's three non-offensive touchdowns. So they outgained them that way. They held – look at they held Nelson to 99-yard rushing or passing. It's not like they gave up 221 on the ground, which is not very good. But still, they gave up – they threw 22 times and got 99 yards. Minnesota passing game. So I get your point where they look better, but then they're still the same old UNLV who makes stupid mistakes.
And just it kills them. It's, I mean, we're not even talking like what 51-23.
Yeah.
I mean, look, all I can say about this game, okay. They were in, okay.
Mustered up. What are you going to say?
Special teams needs to be better.
Yeah.
Because you need to, okay, that kickoff yard doesn't happen. That kickoff return doesn't happen. UNLV's defense, I'm not sure if they would have held them completely.
They would have made them work for it.
They would have made them work for it. And how UNLV's defense was doing, they probably would have gotten no more than a field goal out of it.
They were not. At worst, I'd say, because they're not. They played okay. They showed improvement around, but
the field goal blocked field goal
was a turning point. Okay, you can recover from a kickoff return, but here's the thing: that's 14 straight points. They score at the end of the half, then they score again. They did get that interception in the red zone, which stopped the Minnesota drive. They looked pretty good at some points, but they just couldn't get the ball. They either made just the special teams errors, really. And that's all it is. I don't know what they're going to do next week, which we'll get to later, or next show. But here's your thing. We kind of thought the best end could be bowling. How do you think they, like, really quick, we'll discuss this on our next show in a couple days, but what do you see them going forward? Are you more impressed with, are they exceed your expectations or be whatever terrible?
I don't think they're going to be terrible. I really don't. I mean, I'm still optimistic and all that stuff.
Well, I guess with the way the rest of Mountain West fared, you got to be optimistic.
Yeah.
You see some hope that way.
No, I definitely do think that this could be, still be a 4-win team.
Okay.
Excuse me. I mean, am I wrong in thinking that?
Schedule really quick. Western Illinois, they should win. Should beat Hawaii.
Yep.
New
Mexico.
San Diego State looked pretty bad. New Mexico. Central Michigan's not the greatest MAC team this year. But I maybe.
Yeah, so exactly.
Let's move on. That's just we don't want to make this a 95-minute show. We want this to be within
look,
an
folks,
hour.
This is going
to
get uglier as the night goes on. So
yeah.
We apologize. We hope that our teams will do better next time.
Yes. Next game. What was the next team? Was it Utah State?
Utah State, Utah. Yeah.
Shoeless Chucky Keaton.
Chucky Keaton for Heisman.
Can he still do that, though?
You know what? I don't know.
No, he's not going to win, but invite. Do you think there's any chance of an invite?
Because
it wasn't really his fault they lost, losing to Utah 30-26, by the way, on the road. But it wasn't his fault he had 400 yards of total offense by himself, right at 400. No picks.
Yeah.
31 of 40 throwing the ball. Ran for 85. Had a huge 3rd-and-13 run where he got 16 yards.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this. If the Utah State defense should have cracked down more that first quarter.
Yeah, that
because that's really what killed them.
Down 14-3.
Yeah.
Because after that. After that, they go on a 21-0 run.
Yeah, and they took the lead. And then, I don't know.
The main thing in the game is that for some reason, I don't know why Matt Wells is thinking this. It's not like they have Gary Anderson who wants to slow the game down. They have a 9-point lead late in the mid 6-minute range third quarter. Let's go conservative, which is when you have a fast-paced offense. Like, they were running it pretty good, what they wanted to do. Moving the ball quick, not letting Utah sub. But then they decide to, here's what they do here. They run Joe Hill up for 3 yards. Joe Hill, no gain. That makes it 3rd-and-7, which, by the way, they had a million 3rd-and-longs. Every time I turned around, 3rd-and-long for Utah State. They were
tons of 3rd-and-long, and they were still 10-of-17.
Yeah, still 10-of-17. But here's the thing. They're in their own, deep in their own territory. Let's just run. We got a pass on 37. They get just 6 yards. That was the key point in the game. They didn't hurry up to the line. They just took their time thinking, oh, we're going to milk the clock 6:42 in the third quarter. Come on.
Yeah.
And then they did it again later on. Here, the thing is, okay, here's it, like we talked before the show. If they were to just, who knows, they still could have been stopped on three plays if they decided to play the normal offense. But just say they go to midfield, punt Utah, start their own 15-to-25-yard line. No, instead, they get the ball. They do get a good punt. The ball goes deep into their territory. Utah starts at 26, which that's a pretty amazing punt. It looks like 40-something yards. But then they go down. Utah only gets a field goal. But then they do the tricky onside kick, which was amazing.
That was the play of the night right there. That was balls by Kyle Whittingham.
It's like the Wyoming game where he ticked off Wyoming to down, say, kick up 45-0 or something, ticked off Dave Christensen years ago. Or maybe that was Joe Glenn still. I forget who was there. But the thing is, the kicker for Utah, people watch Petros Papadakis kept saying the the former Utah skier or whatever, every second he got a chance to say so. The kick was amazing. He did the little, not even soccer kick, just turned his heel, just kind of floated off his heel, but then he does a slide in front of the ball right before it's going to go even 10 yards. So he already takes out two Utah State guys trying to get the ball by doing a slide, a kind of like a, it's hard to explain, but like a slide.
It was like a baseball slide, except it was to block
kind
other
of a curve. Yeah, it's like he's going straight, and then kind of slid toward the middle of the field to take out any Utah State guy to go down for the ball. And so that was like perfect. They go down and score on a no issue. Travis Wilson completes two passes for 49 yards total. Touchdown, up by one, game over. But it's like, come on, Matt Wells, why not push the tempo? Why are you slowing the ball down? And I can see fourth quarter, sure, why not slow it down? But third quarter, you're up on a Pac-12 team. You've never been over a decade since you've beaten this team twice in a row. Go for the throat, man.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so, I mean, there's not much more. I'm not sure how much more we could take away from this game. I'm still very scared for Utah State because Utah looked good. Utah State, outside for a couple mistakes, looked threatening. And I think everybody who was watching this game, I was on the Twitter watch, everybody knows Chucky Keaton is the real deal. If they hadn't known from his freshman year, if they hadn't known last year, watching this game confirmed it.
Yeah, people should know from the Auburn game. They nearly upset them.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, first game, true freshman. It goes down, almost beats the defending national. No, should have beaten the defending national champion. Should have, if I recall.
Once again, this now comes back to almost like kind of coaching blunders have kind of screwed.
A little bit. Well, no, not necessarily that, because here's the thing. They have their offensive line amazing, bring everybody back. New running back Joe Hill, 75 yards and 18 carries, and he had over 100 total yards. He's a multifaceted guy, 7 receptions too. I thought their wide receiver could be an issue, but no, they had two receivers, or what's his name right here? If I get it, Travis Van Leeuwen, had over 100 yards and over 100 yards on 5 receptions. They had Bruce Natson, 9 yards, 83 yards. They spread the ball around to, 8 receivers. They did everything right. They held Utah to 3 field goals, including a 19-yarder. They had that goal line stand, essentially. They did everything they needed to do. They were for real, but I don't know. It's hard to tell why they lost it's not hard to tell. The first quarter, they couldn't move the ball for some reason, and then they tried to slow it down end of the game. Not even end of the game, third quarter. And I think Matt Wells will learn from this, from his first game where he's the man in charge of everything, that if they have a lead, they're not going to let up going forward. That's got to be the case. You cannot do that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So let's move on. Oh, jeez. You're right. But, it's getting worse. So
it is getting worse. But we do have a positive spot on Thursday night, that was Fresno State Rutgers.
We're not going to discuss San Jose State winning. Just they won 24 zip. That's it.
That's all
we need. Sac State.
Yeah,
what did David? I want to see what David Fells did. I didn't even look at this box score here.
It wasn't even. Yeah.
They let off. They're up 17 zip and basically let off the gas.
Pretty much. Okay, 50%. So
who's this running back they got there, man? Who's this Jason Simpson guy? See what he did?
I don't know. He didn't make it up on our top 50. Oh, somebody was mentioning that on Twitter, that like our top 50 list was awesome. A jinx.
A jinx? Whoa, crap. What do you mean a jinx? I missed that.
Because Buha Giar went down.
Vince, the guy from San Jose State linebacker, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Oh, I must have missed part of the name. Sorry.
A couple other people went down throughout the weekend. I can't remember, but it was kind of funny. Like
we're known for something.
Yeah. it was just one of those things. Like, is there? You guys ranked the top 50. Is there like a curse? You know.
First time doing it, pal. Wait till next
week. Yeah. Exactly. Right. But overall, whatever. I don't want to say lackluster effort by San Jose State, but it was an easy effort.
Whatever. They didn't need to try, so.
They shut out and kind of dominated an FCS team, which other Cal State teams should have done, but they didn't.
Or American Athletic Conference teams.
Or American Athletic Conference, or Big 12 teams.
Pac-12.
Or B1G teams, or Pac-12, yeah.
But no, there's no Pac-12 team. Or not me.
Yeah, there was. Oh, sorry, a ranked Pac-12 team.
Sorry, I meant Big 12, I should say.
Yeah, there was a Big 12.
Oh, Kansas State. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, right.
BCS participant. Let's move on. Yes. I forget.
San Jose State, David Fales, not too whatever. Impressive. But
he
Jason
didn't need to be. Simpson, didn't need to be.
Jason Simpson did look impressive.
That's a good thing to do. Listen for that name when they start playing actual teams.
Also, I'm going to go ahead and give one more. Chandler Jones, 8 receptions, 130 yards.
Yep, doubled up Noel Grisby.
So
Stanford, no, next week, Stanford.
Yeah, yes. Stanford will be the true test. The stuff
freaking Pac-12 network.
Who I can't get yet.
Which you should. That's rumor, you should.
Rumor is I should, but nothing's been inked yet.
True.
Unless right,
you,
anyway.
Hey, hold on. Wyoming fans live in Texas. If you get Time Warner Cable, you can now watch Longhorn Network when you play Texas State.
Nice.
Just throw that out there. All right, next game, Hawaii.
No. Oh, are we doing Rutgers, Fresno State first?
Let's do Hawaii really quick. That's not going to be
long. Let's do Hawaii. Fine, let's do Hawaii.
Lane Kiffin to UNLV. No. And that could happen. Okay, here's the thing. Hawaii wasn't that bad.
No, they weren't.
Offensively, yes.
Offensively, they were horrible.
Inept. They are missing a running back, which...
Actually, I'd like to introduce the word horboffle.
There you go, horboffle. Excellent. Hawaii, the horboffle Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
Jeez. I mean, look.
They covered the spread. Who had money on Hawaii?
Who had money? Yeah, exactly. let's just look at how bad this game was for a while. Up until 4 minutes and 18 seconds left in the second quarter, Hawaii was winning 5-3.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Yeah, 5-3.
5-3. And then SC scores a touchdown.
Defensive touchdown, by the way. Sorry.
This is an offensive touchdown.
Sorry, I missed the... Then
Hawaii was driving, and then SC scored a defensive touchdown off an interception return. We will get to the topic of interceptions and Taylor Graham fairly soon.
And that was the end of the game. A couple of field goals, another TD, then a garbage touchdown at the end of the game. Hawaii was missing Billy Ray Stutzman, who's still recovering from that concussion, but... This game was hard to watch. I watched a little bit. I'm like, no, thank you. Fresno State, here I come. 6 total turnovers in this game. Taylor Graham, Hawaii quarterback.
4 picks.
4 picks. But
16 for 41, 208 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions. Don't look at the box score. What's his QB rating? Yeah. Did you see it already?
I see it now, 2.7. Sorry, I was staring right at it. Don't laugh if you're a USC fan. 19.4 and 24.0 Max Wittig and Cody Kessler.
So basically,
this game was awful. How is USC ranked? How are they ranked?
I don't know, but they better not be ranked. Of course, they're going to only go up in ranking after the slew of ranked teams ahead of them fell. Yeah. Hawaii's defense looked decent. They couldn't stop the run, but they looked decent.
That was a known issue, yes. But yeah, they held to 172 yards passing, which, okay, USC didn't. Well, no, they didn't need to pass because they had that pick six. But still, they trying to figure out who your quarterback is, who they still don't know. You figured they'd try to throw the ball a bit more, even if they're winning big, which they never really were until. The game really wasn't out of hand until the start of the fourth quarter because there's no points in the third quarter. It's 20-5 through all the third quarter, which is still within striking distance for any team. Two scores, essentially, touchdown and then a touchdown two-point conversion to tie it. So they wasn't out of hand until that field goal.
Hawaii's rushing back to early 2000s bad. and that's... I mean, this is deceptive because Taylor Graham was sacked 6 or 7 times minus 36 yards.
Put that back in there, still doesn't help.
It's still a horrible. I mean, this is, like I said, this is June Jones, Colt Brennan, rushing numbers.
Oh, yeah, rushing, but at least they had a quarterback then.
You could argue that they had a quarterback now. In theory, Taylor Graham was 20 for 40, but just those 4 passes just went to the other team.
Yes, but Norm Chow said through evaluations and potential, he still has got quarterback Taylor Graham, which is fine. It's one game.
It's against, you know what? It's against USC's defense, which, let's face it, is much stronger than Hawaii's offense no matter what.
Yeah. It's whatever. It's a game. It's they covered the spread, the whatever it was, that's fine. They're not looking good. If they had Billy Ray Stutsman in this game, maybe a touchdown, maybe been a little bit closer.
Maybe.
But we'll see when they play Oregon State next week, who lost to Eastern Washington FCS ranks, so yeah. We can't laugh too hard at that. We can a little bit, but not too much.
Well, we can, but, you know.
All right, next game. Game of the weekend. Do you think this was the best game out of any game all weekend, perhaps?
Probably.
Close to it?
I would say that or the Utah State, Utah despite Utah State.
I'm talking about, no, nationally, not just.
Oh, nationally? Oh, nationally, I mean, you had football until way past 3 a.m. Eastern time. I mean, this was a fantastic game, and everybody who was still watching was very excited.
Well, no, I'm talking about not even that day. I'm talking about over every game the whole weekend. I guess Clemson, Georgia was up there. That was a pretty 38-35. Clemson won.
You could have made an argument for Nebraska, Wyoming.
Yeah, for a while, TCU, LSU. Top five at worst. Top three.
I would say top three game.
If you watched it. That's why it may not be. But yeah, this. Where's the? I thought Fresno's defense was supposed to be good. What happened?
Yeah, I.
Darren Thomas. Darren Smith, defensive player of the year preseason.
You gave up 543 yards to a Ron Prince offense.
Where's my laugh track?
That's all I have to say to you, Fresno. You gave up 543 yards to a Ron Prince offense.
And that does not even include the special teams touchdowns at also.
No, exactly.
Where Janarian Grant, who's fastest, very fast, had a 100-yard kickoff return.
To be honest, midway through the second quarter, it was 20-7, and I think every single person was looking at this game and saying, oh, Fresno's doing Fresno things.
So did I. I did as well. They're down 20-7. I kind of tuned out for a little bit. I kind of had my DVRs kind of, okay, skip, whatever, not paying attention.
I was looking for Pat Hill in the stands.
Mustache. And then I saw they scored the one touchdown. I'm like, okay, I'll watch. And they score to take the one-point lead at half. I'm like, okay, we got a game.
And then it went Maction.
Oh, my goodness. This is more than Maction. This is old whack.
This is old whack.
Old whack, in the late 90s when BYU would go to Hawaii.
I was about to say, this is like Boise State, Nevada whack. I mean, yeah, this is old whack.
Whack. Yeah, up until 5 years ago, essentially. Boise, Nevada, BYU, Hawaii. Even when Air Force would put up 40 points running with Fisher DeBerry running the ball. This is...
Even when Fresno was good.
No.
I'm joking, Fresno fans. Fresno State is good.
The only issue they have, which is they need a running game. Replacing Robbie Rouse is pretty tough. Josh Quezada, the BYU transfer, got the start. He 50 total yards, but 29 rushing. He only ran the ball 7 times, which in this game, which makes sense when they're down big early. Why not give it to Derek Carr?
73 passes.
Yeah, 52 of 73.
52. I mean, this is like Ice these are more than Colt Brennan numbers.
This is. But look at the receivers. Devontae Adams 14 of 148.
Isaiah Burst, 13 of 113.
And then people who don't really look at Josh Harper, who they should, tore it up as well. He had, what do they got here? 14 receptions, 94 yards. Look at that. This passing attack is legit. Defense, I did not expect Rutgers to be this good offensively.
So I guess, I did not expect Rutgers to be. I think that's what is more concerning to me is that Rutgers or Fresno State's defense gave up 51 points to Rutgers.
It's more the running because they did hold Rutgers only 3 of 14 on third down. So I think it's more of the running rushing defense needing to step up more than the pass defense. Yeah, he gave up 3-4. Well, maybe I shouldn't go that far. Gave up 348.
Leonte Carew.
Yeah.
5 receptions for 135 yards.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's, well, I'm probably wrong on that, but you get what I'm saying. When they give up that much rushing on the ground, this is just a game where anybody could do anything in defense. I guess Fresno kind of stepped up when they needed to, because in the second half, they, I don't know, it's just a game.
They made this weekend less depressing.
Yeah, this was, if you watch the game, or if I recorded the game, but then the time ran out, so I just started watching it live. I would have waited till the Friday to watch, but the only real concern, well, there's two concerns. Obviously, the running game, either got Quezada or Marquise Waller back there. They need to, if they're going to split, they need to combine for 150 yards, I think, a game, those two guys. Or maybe 115.
It cannot be less than 100 yards.
Yeah, I'd say 115. They got 81 in for the whole game. And Derek Carr counted for 24 of those.
Yeah, it's they just need to do better.
Passing's fine. They're fine. It's just, I don't know. Maybe we'll know more of Rutgers in a week or two, because I didn't expect them to be this good, slinging the ball around. I knew they did have some players, because they did share the Big East title last year.
Fresno State gets FCS playoffs team Cal Poly. This upcoming,
Upset alert.
Upset
alert. Eight was, I think I read over what Sam Chi at SB, what or the BCS guru, what do you say? There's eight FCS schools that won. Too many.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Too many.
I wouldn't say that's too many.
Yeah, I'd say it is. Come on. All right, let's move on. Let's go. Is that the last game for Thursday?
That was the last game for Thursday.
Friday, we got a breather, because there was five games Thursday night. Like, I was like,
it's true.
Half the game. Okay, so we go to Saturday. Doesn't get much better. Was there?
No.
There was one win on Saturday. That's it.
And that was the very first game. And that was Air Force Colgate.
And that was actually in danger early on.
Yeah.
One quick thing about this game, Air Force could, I may upgrade my feelings toward Air Force. Partly because, not necessarily for what they did, even though they did okay, but more along the lines of what other teams didn't do this weekend by losing. But everybody thought it was John Lee. He's going to be the running back. He's the man. But who's this guy, Brome Hart? I didn't expect him to see much playing time. He had 100 yards and, what, three touchdowns?
Yeah. I believe. 18 carries, 101 yards, two touchdowns. John Lee was 11 carries for 130 yards, two touchdowns.
Yeah, first half was Brome. I assume that's right, Brome. Brome, whatever. What's his name again?
Brome.
Brome Hart. Then you got even, I assume this is a fullback here. No, another one. Anthony LaCosta.
Fullback.
Well, I got to double check.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just sad. Where was, where did I make Ty McArthur? I put him in number.
Wait, dual quarterbacks.
Yes. Kel Pearson and
Jaleel Owini.
Sorry.
That's going to be Mountain West name of the year.
Oh, my goodness. It could have been. I didn't pay too much attention to this game outside a little bit, but I don't think there's any injury concern in this. Let me do my research now as we're doing the show.
Air Force just looked solid. I didn't watch this game. I'm just looking at the box score.
I did check out the I could not, because, okay, here's an update. This game was on Root Sports. Apparently, I found out because there's that new Mountain West Digital Network, which works pretty good for non-football sports so far, I found out. I got to watch some nice volleyball action for a few minutes because I clicked on the wrong link, but that worked perfectly fine right away, no issues. The only thing was, if you have Root Sports, if you're in it, not even if you have it, which it doesn't make you log into it. It could have just been this game, I'm not sure. But I tried to watch this game online and have another game on TV. It said my area could not get this game. And it might be, if you're in the area that can even get Root Sports, regardless if you have it or not, you may not be able to watch any Root Sports games online in the Rocky Mountain region. So just be aware of that. I'll do a test next week, but that's what I found.
Good thing I'm not in the Rocky Mountain region then.
Correct, so you could have watched that game. Oh, there was an injury. Okay, there is an injury here. Oh, maybe we should follow him on Twitter. Injured Air Force QB reveals disappointment on social media. Let's see here. I got to choose a few questions here on the Colorado Springs Gazette to read. Let's see. Oh, knee injury. Hey, maybe we should update the website with this. Apparently had an MRI issue and had an MRI. The information came back today and it is not looking too good.
That's definitely not good.
Injured in second quarter, so I'm probably going to update this later. He injured it right before halftime, possibly ACL.
Ooh.
The knee to slightly buckle. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, the assumption. Oh, this probably shouldn't be worded the right way. The assumption of many was of that the hit, which caused the knee to slightly buckle and results in ACL tear. We don't know for certain, so he's probably gone, it looks like, at least for a couple weeks. So we'll keep a tune on that for Air Force. So yeah, next game. Okay, good thing we looked into that. Next game. What game do you want to go to next?
I guess the next in line is UTSA New Mexico.
Oh, the Roadrunners outlasted the Lobos. Those are some two great mascots, right? A Lobo and a Roadrunner.
Yeah, no, totally.
The Wile E. Coyote, that's what that is. Isn't that essentially what that is? Wile E. Coyote,
yes,
and
yes.
The Roadrunner? Is a Lobo Coyote close? Is that close enough? In our
It's a wolf, it's not a coyote. So I'm sorry, if you would like a coyote, you will have to go to, was it South Dakota? No, South Dakota's Jackrabbits.
I don't think there is a coyote, is there?
There is a coyote. It's not Cal State Bakersfield.
FBS, though.
Cal State San Bernardino is the Coyotes.
Is there an FBS school that's the Coyotes? I don't think so.
There's not an FBS school. There is an FCS school, I'm
fairly
sure.
So Huskies, UConn or Huskies?
I'm
just saying. All right, the game. Okay, here's
UConn's
the thing.
More of like the puppies. Yes, I know. It was bad.
New Mexico was winning 13-0 at one point before losing 21-13. Did we put a curse on Casey Carrier as well?
We may have.
54 yards, 2.7 yards per carry.
That's very concerned.
Inverse effect on Cole Gauchy, at least running the ball, 118 yards on the ground.
I was about to say, he was 4 for 12 throwing the ball, 65 yards and one touchdown.
Oh, yeah. So I'm looking at, because they brought in Clayton Mitchum, who threw the ball a bit more. He didn't run the ball except for a couple times. He went 2 of 5 for 19 yards. I'm going to check what I did last time, the injury report on Gauchy, if there was one. So what do you think, like UTSA, we do know they are coached by Larry Coker. That's about it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. I mean, UTSA, transitional FBS school last year, first year in a real conference. We would say that the dying whack last year was not a real conference, even though that Utah State, San Jose State, and did transfer over and they completely killed. So I guess the whack last year was a real conference. But UTSA was transitional FBS last year. They're not transitional FBS this year. They went 8-4 last year. Looks like the wins, the confidence carried over. And honestly, my biggest concern from this is the fact that UTSA passed the quarterback was 21 of 34 for 237 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, they held the rushing attack fairly in check. They had a lot of guys get some yards. I'm trying to see if there's any benching involved with Gauch. I hate that newspaper companies. Okay, I shouldn't complain too much. At least you let me read it without paying for it. But answering those stupid questions, which I just click in whatever. Okay, so I'm trying to check on. I guess Gauchy. I don't know if he got benched or.
I don't know, but statistic of the night for the New Mexico game.
What's that?
New Mexico punting.
Uh-oh. Ooh, punter. All-American punter there?
Yes, All-American punter. Ben Scare, 7 punts for 329 yards.
Holy crap.
4 inside the 20. Only 1 touchback.
Game ball.
Game ball. On the other hand, you had Christian Stern for UTSA, who had 6 punts for 231 yards.
Yeah, but that's only a 38-yard average. He didn't have a 47-yard average.
Exactly. Yeah. Scare.
However, here's the thing that's misleading, not to go in too deep in punting. The 4 touch, that's not net punting, that's total punting, which means 4, take away 80 yards from that because he had 4 touchbacks.
No, he had 1 touchback.
Oh, wait, what's the minus 20 then? What's that?
Inside the 20.
Oh, okay, never mind. My mistake. That's a new look there for ESPN. Sorry. Good job, Scare. Game ball.
Game ball. Game ball for Scare.
I don't know. It's,
I guess the
I
guess
bit,
the new term for New Mexico football is don't be scared.
Excellent. Excellent.
Rather it'd be scared.
Ah. Yeah, better. Be scared. Be scared of the punts. I don't know. Here's the thing that sucks about this game if you're a New Mexico fan. You don't get a win against an opponent you should have won, because if they wanted the bowl game, they needed this win.
Yeah, exactly.
They had to have this win. And now that they don't have it, now that they can't make a bowl game, but it's a lot harder now because it, just to kind of glance at their schedule again really quick, UTEP could be a win. I'm not confident in them upsetting Pittsburgh anymore. But only other games maybe, UTEP, UNLV because it's at home, New Mexico State, that's three wins. Maybe CSU four, maybe Air Force five, but no, they're not. They're no way now. They're probably going to get the four wins. I can see that maybe, but Dark Horse Bowl team, no more.
Yeah, so there that kills my prediction.
Just like last year, didn't you do the same thing? Bowl game for New Mexico last year.
Yeah, except
you just kept picking weird upsets for New Mexico. You weren't just saying they're bowl game. You were just picking up upset. Sure,
that's still alive.
Don't be Texas.
Still a very much possibility.
Don't be the Longhorns. No problem. Next game, Eastern Illinois, 40 points. Let's rephrase it. Let me. Should you mute your microphone for a second? Eastern Illinois, 40 points. San Diego State fighting Aztecs, 19.
Yeah.
I don't even know what happened in this game. I couldn't really watch the feed because it kept kind of going in and out.
Well, five turnovers isn't going to help you.
And four picks by Adam Dingwell.
Yeah, gee. Oh, my goodness.
Leading rusher was wide receiver Colin Lockett. One rush for 48 yards, by the way.
And eight receptions for 98 yards. Yes. Well, I mean, that's pretty good. But
no, but I'm saying the leading rusher. What happened to? Did we give a curse to Adam Wayma as well?
Yeah,
10 of 17 on the ground.
That's the guy that they were.
You injured everybody. Curse you.
Curses. What the hell happened?
They were a team that expected to do good, right? Is that my confidence level in that my tone is not very high? But they were.
This was a team that could have competed for the Mountain West West Division, possible dark horse as a Mountain West champion. Oh, and by the way, they only won a share of the championship last year,
and bring back most of the same team.
Yeah, exactly.
They do bring back. They did lose Leon McFadden, who's a brilliant secondary player, but. Adam Wayma.
Jake Feely went down with an injury. You know what? It's got to be the curse, man. Because we ranked Jake Feely.
Wait, he did? What happened to him?
I think Feely's out. Check the injury report.
Let me go to my website, collegeinjuryreport.com.
I'll go ahead. I mean, just the Eastern Illinois. I mean, you allowed Eastern Illinois 361 yards through the air with three touchdowns. And, by the way, Eastern Illinois still had two turnovers, but they were two fumbles. And was there any points scored off those turnovers? I don't even know.
Find out in a second here.
We could.
I don't see any injuries. I did a quick Google search just to kind of check the issues. Let me go to the San Diego Union Tribune, but nothing so far. As for those turnovers, that you said Eastern Illinois turned it over twice. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, they're plus three in turnover margin. Oh, you mean to San Diego State scored on any of those?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem likely. Without even looking, I could probably say not likely. Because that first touchdown, they scored on the opening drive, so no right there.
They were out. They were manhandled on every single stat.
Dingwell threw the ball. He did have 318 yards passing.
63 attempts,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he averaged 5 yards an attempt. And four picks.
He was 27 for 63. I mean,
don't they
he's
have,
like
isn't
the
Bob,
Derek Carr
don't they have a new offensive coordinator? Isn't Bob Toledo their new offensive OC?
Yeah, seriously, Toledo, what the hell?
Do you guys want Andy Ludwig back in Southern California? Maybe.
Possibly.
And also, let's get to the, is there any more talk about the game?
Just laughing?
Should we discuss, my favorite topic of the weekend?
Yeah, let's go
there. Wait, before we get to that, ask San Diego State paid Eastern Illinois $325,000 for the win. paid them $325 to come to the stadium.
Money well spent.
Okay, and here's the thing. We're going to get to it, but everybody saw a tweet by a San Diego Union Tribune non-football writer saying, thanks for Boise State dragging us down in this conference for or whatever. Basically, he's pissed at Boise State because...
Oh, by the way, he's still coming at you right now.
Oh, ooh.
He just told you only for bonus only applies to conference games. Anyway, continue your topic. Talk, please.
I will discuss this, too, real quick. Just because if you read the actual contract, it's not clear on what game. It says regular season games. I found it another way. And so if you read the actual PDF, it says all regular season games. There was no distinction until I read somewhere else. I tweeted him something this morning, so whatever. I'll reply in a minute. However, well, maybe I won't. I'll leave him as it. But basically, he's just saying, why come back to this league? Why bend over and give Boise State all this money if they're going to lose to a mid-level Pac-12 team? On the same night, your Aztecs get your get handed by an FCS team by, what, 37-point difference?
Yeah, it wasn't 40, even... It, yeah.
31. 30, 40, 41, 40 to 19.
40 to 19. 31 point difference.
Even, no, if you, even if the scores was reversed, stupid thing to say. And I did some quick research. Now, after I did make an error in tweeting some stuff this morning because, like I said, I read the PDF, signed contract, by the way. And
so this is public information, by the way.
Idaho Statesman pulled it out from a few months ago. Boise State President Bob Kustra argued because it says all regular season games, no distinction, home, road, nothing. However, after reading more, because I figured, wouldn't it make sense to you that the contract would have precise information, no inferences, no implications or implying of anything? If you're a lawyer, you want everything written out 10 times with different wording or the exact same wording to make sure it's clear.
No, exactly.
So, okay, that was a mistake on my part reading
if
there.
If anything, lawyers should know how to sell souls.
You see that terms and condition nobody reads? That's 10 pages long? That's what this should have been. I read through it three times. I'm like, is this certain? Because I was thinking, this got to be conference game. Thinking this is all regular season games. Okay, here's a quick math I did really quick. Boise State is guaranteed $1.1 million because they get the bonus structure people know. $300K per game on ESPN, ABC, or ESPN2. If you're on a weekend, you get $500K. Boise's guaranteed $1.1 million. The max is $2.1. However, if Nevada, this is not going to happen, Nevada could actually cap out at $2.3 million. San Diego State can get $1.3 million. Fresno Air Force, $1.8 million. So it helps everybody out. So if you play Boise State, and you're, I guess if you're in their division, you get more money. But like I like your tweet, San Diego State's anchor in this situation who got drug up to come back.
But I mean, it just once again, it's unclear, and in its one unclearness, I think the tweet that I was talking with SB commenter Mizzou, his Twitter handle is Remembering the Five, Craig James News. it comes back to this. Okay, he's ranting and trying to argue about things. How is... I'm trying to find it now. He basically said... So, the same argument goes that if San Diego State averages 12 wins a year or 11 wins a year or whatever the hell that is, you know...
Double digits for a decade.
Double digits for a decade. Doesn't get rocked by FCS schools. They could do the same thing because they'll be attractive to ESPN. And yes... So the moral of the story is be good and you can be, you know, the conference powerhouse and get all the money.
Also, this isn't a Texas situation in the Big 12.
No, this isn't a Texas situation.
This does – okay, let's get it clear. This does benefit Boise more than other schools.
Right now?
Yes. Well, for the foreseeable future because if we're reading through the – assuming that PDF is correct, any future negotiations, Boise could still sell their home TV rights to whoever they like. So who the deal could vary if they suck – who's going to pay for it? Two-edged sword. I doubt Boise State's ever going to be at a good 5 to 10 year stretch of being a 4-8 team. If that's the case, who's going to buy their rights?
Look, this comes back to, yeah, who's going to, and you're exactly right. But all this comes back to is a piss poor tweet about somebody getting a little bit butthurt about a team that they didn't even lose to. Oh, but yeah, once again, a team that. Isn't even their team that they're just ranting off, shown a little pissy fit about,
yeah,
and calling us out on it, which, oh, by the way, if Washington played as solid at Boise State last night as they do the rest of the season, that could be a very, very good, potentially top 25 team.
No, it will be. They'll be ranked this week. They could possibly challenge Stanford. They could. They're right with Stanford, Oregon, probably a step or two behind, but they're going to give those teams a heck of a time. But here's the main thing, though. San Diego State, would you like them to be in the American Conference and join UConn, who lost to an FCS school, and join USF? Because that seems where they belong, right? Right,
right, right, right. And so then, we're more than willing to give San Diego State to the American Athletic Conference because, you know, time-honored tradition of getting their asses handed to them by FCS schools, especially on week one. I mean, that sounds pretty good, right? I mean, and be the laughing stock of the whole nation. Great job. Good effort.
Also, no, it's good job, good effort. Get it right.
No. It was a great job. No, it was a great job to get handled by
Eastern Illinois, right? Here's the thing, too. Don't they know that they were brought in just to appease Boise State to the Big East, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I lost you. Sorry. But no, also, let's see. Air Force turned on the Big East. BYU. The Air Force multiple times. Rumors of UNLV and Fresno State also turning on the Big East. So it's not like you're the first choice, guys.
Yeah, believe us.
And then also,
if we wanted a first choice to bring somebody with us to the Big East Conference, BYU. It was going to be Fresno State.
Or BYU.
Or BYU.
Yeah, from the Mountain West. Yeah, Fresno. Or you. Well... No, UNLV is safer hoops, Big West. But and also, as I update my math after I admit my error here, but technically Nevada can make more money than Boise State and TV deal this year.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you didn't hear me say that?
No, I heard you say that.
Oh, you're just doing. Oh, you're just.
Thanks for ruining the moment, Jeremy.
Sure. I'll say it again. Nevada can make more than Boise State this year in TV money.
What? Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that's. I'm gonna put. Mess with this later and post it. I screwed up by not reading the actual contract that said something else, so my fault there. But yeah, we'll move on.
Okay, because the guy didn't read the contract either.
He must not. He's not doing the math like I'm going to do in the next 20 minutes here once we're done. But let's move on to the parallel game of Boise State not showing up against Washington and renovated Husky Stadium to get.
Do we want to do that? Yeah.
That's next. The beatdown.
Well, shit. You know, I was sad about this game. I was legitimately sad about this game. I wasn't upset.
It's disappointing.
It was disappointing. And the argument was we were once again, Twitter conversations later that night. I think Brian Murphy had said it best. Brian Murphy wrote an article. And it was basically the fact that Boise State in the game last night lost their identity of a fun offensive team who used to do crazy shifts, who used to do crazy motions, different offensive reads. You know what? It was just one thing last night. It was no huddle pistol offense.
Yeah, and I was on the pregame show in Boise, I think one of the ESPN affiliates. They're talking about, so what do you think? The pistol will they be fine? I mentioned that the Broncos have offensive coordinator there for the second time, back-to-back years for the first time in 3 years. This is not going to be what Rick Neuheisel forced down Norm Chester at UCLA with the pistol just because it's trendy and Nevada was doing it. I figured they're going to be fine. They're always going to be fine. Until they prove me otherwise, they're going to be fine, is essentially what I said.
They may have proved that last night, that they're not going to be fine.
Yeah, this is their worst loss, like you put when they lost, went down to the Georgia and got whooped with Jared Zabransky back in 2005. This was that bad.
I know this was that bad because I've seen both games, and that's exactly what it reminded me of. Because
they couldn't move the ball, and I was expecting, okay, Joe Southwick's second year, we were going to see a different Southwick because he played good at the end of the last season. Even when he opened up against Michigan State, he wasn't terrible, but as you could tell, it was the first time starting.
And he wasn't terrible last night. But
wasn't good.
No, he wasn't good, but he wasn't terrible by any means.
You need to pay attention. 152 yards is terrible for a starting quarterback in this offense.
Yeah, but when you're giving when all you're getting is, you know, short cross routes with nowhere to go because you're just getting tackled as soon as you catch the ball. There was very little yards after catch on there.
But still, come on, in this offense?
they were defend. Oh, look. I mean, okay. This game, Southwick did what he did because that's all he was given. If you had tight ends, I mean, how many tight ends did we see in motion last night? We had Holden Huff and we had Gable Inham, both who only contributed 2 catches for 11 yards combined.
And was it...
Sorry, 13 yards.
Wasn't Linehan supposed to be a big deal after coming back from the injury last season?
Yeah, and he was a non-factor. Holden Huff was practically a non-factor.
Baldwin stepped up, which is nice for once.
Baldwin stepped up, and Sean, you know...
Receivers Baldwin did okay. Kirby Moore, Matt Miller, Baldwin combined for 22 receptions.
Yeah. But, I mean, look. I mean, this is what alarms me. Look at Baltazar. Baltazar, 3 receptions for 7 yards. Jay Ajayi, 1 reception, 1 yard. And this is not including the drops that were happening because Washington was just covering them so well. You saw a lot of swing passes, a lot of simple short
routes.
They
got nothing. They got snuffed out.
That got hardly anything. This was not Southwick's fault in terms of, you know, throw the deep ball. Because when he did throw the deep ball, outside of the one interception, they were just being covered on all ends.
So I don't get why if they're... Yeah, the Washington's defense is much better than we thought. But here's the thing. They let a running game get out of control. They allow... At least they held Bishop Sankey to under 200 yards this time around, to 168. Or 161, excuse me, but they gave up 260 yards to the ground. Even though Boise's lost a lot of players on defense, they didn't do much anything. It's like anything we've known them to do good, they didn't do. Offensive lineman Charles Leno, this offense is going to be explosive. They get nothing. They're running the ball, did okay. J.G. did fine, 93 yards, but you got to throw for more than 150.
And Aaron Baltazar did
5 yards of carry.
Yeah.
They moved the ball, but it seemed like whenever they got even sniffed anything close to midfield, nothing. Anytime they get moved the ball a little bit, because it seemed like they moved the ball in spurts, they would go down the field and get stuffed. Is that accurate, you believe?
No, exactly, and that's exactly what happened. So something needs to happen in, you know, why did they get stuffed? Because run the ball, pass, and it's once again no huddle. Pistol offense, there's so many selective plays that you can. It gets very easy to predict. Don't believe me? Play some NCAA and just do the same exact play calling over and over and over again. You know why I love playing as Boise State on NCAA 14? It's not because it's my team. It's because there are so many different packages to work with, and the shifts make it just seem so flowing that, like, there's literally probably 250, 300 plays.
But also, the thing is, you mentioned that motion and shifting. They didn't do that at all.
There was no motion, no shifting. That's why I said they had a loss. It was almost a complete loss of identity. And here's the problem is, this isn't the first time we've seen this out of this offensive coordinator. We saw it twice last year where Boise State didn't score a single offensive touchdown in the Michigan State game and in the BYU game.
Yeah, I don't get why they go to the pistol, because they've never really done it ever. But here's the thing about putting players in motion. You put them in motion, the defense, probably 70% of the time, has to make some sort of adjustment and show their hand, at least part of their hand. That's what the motion is. That's why I mentioned before the show. Vince Young was a terrible quarterback in the NFL, except when he was at Tennessee with Norm Chow. You ever see a Norm Chow offense? Guys in motion, guys moving the tight end out of the backfield, bringing the tight end in, moving somebody out. You may not even throw to the guy. The guy's may not even be important. It just shows you what the defense is coming at you. The defense has to adjust to a guy in motion. If they don't move, even if the defense doesn't move, here's the thing. Just say here's a simple set. You got 2 wide receivers, 2 running backs, and a tight end. You have a wide receiver. Well, bad example. 3 wide receivers. You have a wide receiver on one end. Slide, go motion to the other end of the field. If the defense doesn't move, it's probably a zone coverage. If they move, you'll see what happens. If you move the offense, put a guy in motion, the defense, more often than not, will give you something to show what you can do. If you don't move at all, they can cover it up as best they can and just show a base formation and then surprise you with whatever they do last second, time the snap count.
I'm done with this game.
So, okay, we're done with this discussing the game. So what do you think expectations are going forward with this team?
Adjustments better happen.
Well,
and
more specifically, what do you think?
More specifically, the offense needs to get creative again. And the defense better step up as well.
Good points. But also, the thing is about Boise's offense, when you mean creative, people think triple, flea flick, or reverse. That's not even the case. If you think about it, they are a smash mouth team at times. They'll run the ball when they had DJ Harper, Doug Barton, Ian Johnson. They'd run up the middle and attack you. But yet they'd still go in shotgun and put 3-yard receivers that can beat you that way as well. I don't know why they go to the pistol. Is it a trendy thing just because Nevada's doing it? Everybody's trying to mix in at least a pistol package.
No. Boise State has had a pistol package for five years.
But not as much as last night.
Not as much as last night. Last night they ran practically the whole damn offense in the pistol or the shotgun.
Get under center and I know you got some guys that are smaller, but they're creative. You don't have to be creative by doing trick plays, but be creative. Like I said, being creative, put a guy in motion.
Yeah. Creative does not, and you're absolutely right. Creative does not mean trick plays. Creative in the sense of if you're playing soccer and you have a striker and he has to show creativity to score the ball, it's not just running the same exact damn thing over and over and over again. It's mixing things up a little.
A pump fake is creative sometimes.
Yeah.
It can be simple. Simple as that. Throw in the shoulder fake. So next game, is this a lot? We got one game left. Is that all we're up against?
No, we got two games.
How much? Two? What's the other
one? No, three. Three. We haven't covered Nevada, UCLA. We haven't covered Wyoming, Nebraska. Oh. We haven't covered Colorado State.
Right, let's make this quick. Nevada, UCLA.
Nevada, UCLA.
Nevada's defense is terrible, as expected.
This is not a surprise. 647 yards given up on defense.
Wow, I did not know it was that much.
Yep. 302 yards in the air, 345 yards rushing. And Brett Hundley is a beast.
Okay, here's all we're going to say. I figured the offense would be a bit better. They need Don Jackson to step up a running back or anybody because Cody Fajardo led the team in rushing, 106 in two scores. Threw just okay, but I seriously thought Nevada would kind of go toe-to-toe. I thought it might be like a 40-30 game, something like that. But that's all it is. We're not going to discuss much more. I just assume to say the defense needs to step up and find a running attack. That's not the quarterback. Good enough?
Yeah.
Yeah. And UCLA better than I thought as well by scoring almost 60 points.
Oh, no. I knew UCLA was going to be good.
I didn't think they'd be that good, but...
No, I knew this. When I saw the spread as it was, I thought the Nevada was going to cover the spread, but I knew the number of points that was going to be scored.
Yeah, and I'm also surprised they didn't pass the ball more because... Here's the thing. No turnovers for Nevada, and they still got smoked.
No, yeah. Simply put, there was zero defense.
8 of 20 on third down, not the best. You want to probably be closer to 50%, but it's just below. But it's 40% there. But they just got to move the ball a bit better passing and not just stop somebody in defense. That's about it. So, all right, let's move on to probably my favorite game of the weekend, just about Wyoming and Nebraska. How's that 30-point spread going for everybody there in Nebraska? Who I discussed with our friend John at Coronation. He's like, what do you like the spread? He's like, oh, it's done. 30 points, easy. I was like, okay, dude, because I know outside of the history of history of Wyoming playing tough for the first half, they got an offense. And, well, that's why I thought there wouldn't be 30 points, but they lose 37-34. After I thought they blew I assume you're in the same boat as me, that – when Nebraska put on that 21-point stretch, the game was over.
Yeah. I was just... You would think then the game was over, and then all of a sudden, Brett Smith turned into Brett Smith. And, I mean, he showed why he's, once again, another threat and probably underranked in our top 50 ranking.
After this first week, I put him... number two behind Derek Carr in quarterback.
Really? Position. You wouldn't put him behind – you wouldn't put Chucky Keaton ahead of him?
Oh, man. Chucky. No. What? No. No, I'd say no. Dude, Brett Smith had four touchdowns and over 400 – almost 500 yards of total offense. He rushed for 92 yards and put up 383. There, I'd put them neck and neck. They both lost. They both played great. Can I put a tie for second?
Yeah, I'll put a tie for second.
It's here's the thing about why I'm watching this game. First off, Nebraska screwed themselves over when they were in the fourth quarter. When they had right before, it was 37-27 after they failed on the two-point conversion. They run up the middle. The guy, their running back goes to the outside and gets tackled out of bounds. And then they have to punt. But here's the thing. Robert Heron, who they got here? Dominic Ruffin, Jalen, what's his name? Wide receiver, if my computer would refresh. Jalen Claiborne. They're studs. Those three guys combined for 22 receptions. And that doesn't even include Brandon Miller, who's a now running back, moved wide receiver to running back. Had almost 100 total yards, 63 in the passing game.
And let's not forget about Sean Wick, who 12 carries, 101 yards. I mean, he was tearing it up on the ground as well.
And they're missing DJ Mayfield, the earth, a torn pec muscle from the offseason.
Corn could not stop Wyoming's offense.
Here's what killed them.
Scares me.
No, you know what's with Wyoming's offense? Wyoming's offense having a two holding calls on their last drive.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Fourth and one. I believe I'm pulling up right now. I believe this was the final drive.
Yeah, it was fourth and one.
Fourth and one. Brett Smith. They do a brilliant draw play. Quarterback designed run gets about maybe at least 5 yards, possibly more. Pushes them back to the inside the 17. Back to the 17. They couldn't. Yeah, they could. They had two holdings actually. Yeah, they're at the 18, and then they move up two holding plays in the last minute. Where the way Brett Smith moved the ball at his last possession, throwing down to Ruffin and Tanner. Gentry.
And I'm not sure that last holding was an actual holding.
I don't know.
It's but, first week of the season. I mean, it could have been debatable, but I mean,
home cooking.
Yeah.
This Wyoming team, this should have been the last game we talked about, but well, we got CSU, CU, but this is the Brett Smith I wanted to see last year.
This is, by the way, this is the Wyoming team where Jeremy was talking about dark horses in last week's podcast. And he said Wyoming's a dark horse. This is the Wyoming team he was talking about.
Yes.
Not last year's Wyoming team.
They did struggle the three touchdowns in a row. Their defense does need to get better. Their pass defense did pretty good. Blair Burns got the interception. They did hold – well, running game was abysmal, 375. But this is a team. If they can just step up that rush defense – because I thought their defense would just be awful. Giving up 37 points is pretty awful. But still, they – contain the passing game, even though Taylor Martinez is not the best thrower. He's adequate, above average, but nothing spectacular.
They kept him to 155 yards rushing.
Passing. 80
passing. Rushing. Sorry. 80 rushing.
The only thing I was really concerned was the running game. It looks like they have it. Because when we talked to Matt from Cowboy Altitude preseason, they didn't want Brett Smith to run the ball all that much. I kind of got the feeling he's kind of both. He had to run. He got pressured. Because he had that. Okay, one run was 47 yards, so.
But it wasn't a designed run, was it?
I don't believe so. I don't recall.
I don't think so. I think it was just a scramble.
Roll out and run. But yeah, I think they're gonna be a bowl team, assuming Brett Smith doesn't get hurt, obviously, or doesn't do
suspended.
Suspended or being stupid for ejections, but I like this game a lot because I was coming back. I'm like, oh, they're gonna come back, they're gonna come back. Everybody on Twitter's talking about the game. Look at this, Wyoming, Nebraska, minute left. Onside kick failed. They still stopped them on three plays. This is a good team, and it's going to be fun to watch when they start playing some teams in a couple weeks.
All right, final game.
CSU Colorado. Today, Sunday. Well,
Sunday.
Monday for everybody else, Sunday.
Yep.
For the game, Paul freaking Richardson for Colorado. Like the first, yeah. I think is the first or second play of the game. 82-yard touchdown play. He had an 82-yard and a 75-yard touchdown.
Colorado State needs to figure out their passing defense.
Yeah, they gave up 400 yards to Connor Wood. And this is a CU team that didn't know who their quarterback was until guys started transferring.
They did find a better rusher than Chris Nwoke.
Nwoke?
Nwoke. Sit Nwoke. Start Bibbs.
Well, Don Alexander technically was a starter in this game. He got the first. Alexander looked good on the first drive. He had two receptions for 11 yards and two carries for 18. 17-yarder, which was nice. He went out with some sort of hand injury. We're not exactly sure. But then Capri Bibbs, who's from Chicago via JUCO and Snow College, finally made it to CSU after keeping his commitment. Amazing player in high school, set a bunch of state records for Chicago. Ended up with a 2 touchdowns, 70 yards, and 15 carries. And it's got to be him and Alexander. Make Chris Noel be the third string guy. He should be okay. They have the depth there to be good, but they found Bibbs. He's a redshirt sophomore. Garrett Grayson was a starter, which should have been expected.
Did all right.
Look for Nick Stevens, the freshman, to redshirt, and then Grayson to be the man. The good thing is here, Jim McElwain stuck with Grayson the whole game.
There was no switching.
And part of it, too, here's a couple. They had 14 points, not 14 non-touchdown or non-offensive points for Colorado. They had a 53-yard fumble return and then also a 74-yard punt return. So take out those 14 points, and that's a game right there. That's the difference.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So they weren't out of it, but there's just some unfortunate circumstances in the second half, fourth quarter, essentially. The deep play and then the play killed them, obviously. That second Richardson touchdown, 75-yarder. So CSU looked – it's hard to tell because Colorado's awful as well. They're just a bad team. So it's like, well, you played close to a rival Pac-12 school – yeah, they're expected to get sixth place in the Pac-12 South.
Yeah, so I don't know
if that's the case, because Colorado looked pretty solid. If Richardson is back to full strength because he missed last year with the ACL tear, they actually might surprise some teams in the Pac-12. And CSU, they looked okay. They weren't terrible. They looked don't turn the ball over and don't give up special teams, and you're good to go.
Yeah, no, exactly. So
Oh, I made a mistake here. Sorry. Colorado State had the punt return. My mistake on that. I must have looked at that wrong. I'm used to see you getting a big play. Sorry about that. They had just seven. The only touchdown that was not on offense was the fumble return, the fourth quarter. I apologize to Joe Hansley, who had that 74-yard punt return. It's late, and I was assuming Colorado scored that touchdown. It's almost midnight right now, so leave me alone, folks.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and do the power rankings, even though I really don't want to.
Do you want to do division or overall? Let's do overall.
Let's do overall. First of all, who's your I want to do this. I want to make this in kind of a frequent feature of the podcast. So who were your top three players this week?
Derek Carr, Brett Smith, Chucky Keaton.
Yeah, same.
I don't want to look it up if there's anybody else, but those three off the top of my head.
Yeah. I will give No, I won't give consideration. No, it's Brett Smith, Derek Carr, Chucky Keaton. I was going to give consideration for...
Can we give the Fresno State receiving core consideration?
Yeah.
Just by themselves?
Yeah, exactly.
Those three guys. All right, and then what do you want to do next? What was... Okay.
Bottom.
No, wait.
Bottom up.
Worst performance. Is it just San Diego
worst
State?
Worst performance. San Diego State.
Okay, so bottom up. I got all 12 teams here. So you want to go 12 to 1?
12 to 1. All right.
Number 12, because you lost to an FCS school. San Diego State's my number 12 team. Out of principle for losing to that to FCS school.
That badly.
And not even close. So who's your number 12?
So my number 12 as well as San Diego State.
Okay. Number 11, New Mexico?
Yeah, I'm going to give number 11 to New Mexico as well.
Yeah, I'll go to Mexico. And then who's your number 10?
My number 10, I'm going to give to...
You're
going to
be boring and pick the same ones, I think.
UNLV.
Oh, you can't. UNLV 10. Okay, yeah, UNLV. No, wait, hold on. We haven't said Hawaii yet. What's wrong with us?
Because Hawaii actually had a defense.
No, I'm going number 10, Hawaii.
Oh, you're going number 10, Hawaii. Okay, that was going to be my number 9.
Okay, so I got Hawaii 10, 9 UNLV. You have UNLV 9. Or no, excuse me.
I have Hawaii 9.
Hawaii 9, sorry. Hawaii 9. Who's your number 8 then?
This is going to get a little bit tough, but I'm going to go with Nevada.
I should have wrote these down. I'm going Air Force because they lost to because they played in FCS school, so they're number 8 for me.
But so did San Jose State.
Your point?
Fine. Fine. I'm not going to argue this. So, late. Okay. Number 7.
Nevada.
I'm going to go with Boise State.
All right, then. Interesting.
Yeah. Number 6.
So, who do I get left on the board here? I get Utah State. Oh, I'm going to go Colorado State.
Okay. My number 6 is Nevada.
My number 5 is Boise State, even though people aren't remember this, but I'm going to say 5 Boise State.
My 5 is Colorado State. Number 4?
San Jose State.
My number 4 is Air Force.
Have I said Air Force yet?
Yeah, you said you put them down low.
I don't remember who I have left. here, let's do this. My top 3. I'm going to go Fresno. I'm going to reset here for me. Fresno number 1. Wyoming number 2. Utah State number 3.
Fresno number 1. I'm going to go Utah State number 2, Wyoming number 3, and then San Jose State number 4.
Okay, that's fine. Our top 4 are the same. Probably should have wrote these down to make it better, but we'll actually do our power rankings. I apologize for not doing that last week, especially to everyone who sent me in their power rankings. I just spaced it because football started and I didn't care probably. And I forgot doing other things week 1. So that's our show for the week. A dismal 3-9 performance. Hopefully our podcast is better than that. Maybe.
I say it's already better because of our awesome theme song.
Oh yes, I forgot. If you like our theme song in the beginning, let us know. I'll probably play it at the end as well. I will
make sure. Oh god, are you serious?
I'll mix it in. I will definitely mix it in so we can double up on that goodness. And
if you guys have any other ideas for songs for me to do parodies of, for theme songs,
send
it our way, because it was a lot of fun to do, and it's kind of hard, difficult to think of lyrics.
If you want
to
hear these, go to Black Heart Gold Pants.
This is where we originally got the idea.
They are amazing at this stuff.
So, I don't think I've ever enjoyed Blurred Lines as much as they did, or Call Me Maybe for that matter.
Oh, I never heard that one from them. I'll check that
out. Oh, that was the one. That was the one before the Blurred Lines this summer.
What was Blurred Line? The Robin Thicke song, whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, that one's really good, too, with Pharrell and stuff. That's excellent. All right, so that's all we got for tonight. Our website, I don't think we mentioned, but you should know, mwcconnection.com. We will start. What are the games this week? Are the games on Friday, Saturday? I don't want to look ahead that far because I'll be freaking out.
I thought
out.
We were going to have another podcast before.
We are. Oh, good. All Saturday games. Excellent.
Oh, we got an extra day.
And there's an off week. So look for our show probably Wednesday or Thursday then this week. And, yeah, check out the website. And for the teams that lost, you should be over by now. Have a good Labor Day. Relax and listen
practice.
To this. And try not to get too upset about us on Labor Day if you listen to this tomorrow on Monday. Or today on Monday, whenever. But, yeah, have a good weekend. And we'll look forward to week 2. And, like I said, next show is on Wednesday. And football's here. And here's our theme song. So go listen away.
What you want, we've got in mind to hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss with grin the britches. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast too.